Let's pray together. God, we thank you in advance this morning for hearing our prayer, for continuing to pour out your mercy upon us, for continuing to pour out your Spirit upon us that we may live our lives as a church gathered in the name of Jesus this morning to live by the Spirit. We pray that you will give us wisdom, that you will give us peace, and that you will continue to show us the way. We thank you so much for the ways that you have worked in our lives. And we thank you for the promises upon which we base this present day. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning of the book of Acts, the living Jesus raised from the dead tells his followers this: "But before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They ask him a question, to which he replies, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So they did what most of us do when told something by God that we don't understand. They prayed. One day, while they were praying, the sound of a rushing wind combined with something that looked like tongues of fire resting upon them. Acts 2 says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, which seems to be a sort of immediate fulfillment of Jesus' recent promise that they may be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But like saying we devote ourselves to prayer, in all of these stories, whether we tell them or live them, we are always confronted with one nagging question. Well, what does this mean? And the answer is found just a few verses down into Acts 2:11 after the list of where all these people are from. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Too often in church, we try to tell the story of God by telling our own story. Now, to be fair, sometimes those stories are so intertwined that it's impossible to tell one without the other. After all, how do you tell the mighty works of God without telling of God's presence among His people? And maybe that's the whole point. We tell the acts of the Spirit by telling the ways we see God working among us. Because if we spend all of our time trying to figure out what comes next, we miss out on the opportunities to say out loud how we've seen God working among us recently. We spend so much time asking, "What will God do?" that we miss out on the joy of saying, "Look at what God just did." And since our church, for example, is only a little over 50 years old, every story we could possibly tell is a recently story. Every story we could possibly tell about the way God has worked among us recently is a story that's just happened. In what's become a legendary sermon in Acts 2, at least among our ilk, we've rushed so much to the end that we miss a beginning that actually just might be as important a model as "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The holy ending only has deep meaning in light of a holy beginning. We're at the beginning of the sermon. Peter said this: "And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words: "Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works. Now, there's much more between those holy borders of an ending and a beginning. But what if all our words began that way? The way Peter began his sermon, what if all of our words began that way? And I'm not exaggerating. I think everything. Everything that we could possibly say to one another in the life of the church, everything from how's the weather to how you've been doing, begins with those kinds of words. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you about the mighty works of Jesus. This is a story of God's Spirit pouring out with great generosity, great grace, and great power. The story of Acts 1 through 2 is a story of people. After the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, all asking the same question. What do we do now? Anytime a group of people asks, what do we do now? We can be confident that if we devote ourselves to prayer, God pours out His Spirit with great generosity, great grace, and great power. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you about the mighty works of Jesus that I saw with my own eyes and read in the history books one time, or at least Time magazine, about a couple named Dwayne and Barbara Evans. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you about the mighty works of Jesus I saw with my own eyes one time when Marvin walked through on a quiet Sunday morning into a sanctuary and set down his Bible on a pew toward the front before anyone else got here. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you about the mighty works of Jesus I saw with my own eyes as Joe Hightower nurtured this dream called the Hospitality Apartments, as Paul Riddle and Tamara Thompson and Alan Jenkins walked the hallways of the hospitals ministering to the sick, as Sarah and Elaine and Carenza and Hermet told new stories to children about the mighty works of Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you about the mighty works of Jesus that we saw with our own eyes while we devoted ourselves in this place to prayer on Samira's behalf and then celebrate as she worships with us again, side by side, not so that we might bask in the glory of our own limited story, but so that we might do what a church is made to do. That we come in here on a morning like this and we do exactly what we are supposed to do as the people of God. Shout from the rooftops that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So now, with our very lives, let us tell you about the mighty works of Jesus. Amen.